Hare Krishna. So, what was the last topic that we were hearing? So long ago. What was the last topic? Yes. Punya. Yes. More on this. What was the last thing we were hearing? Yes. Yogis. Yes. And what about yogis and punya? We naturally want encouragement. First, we have to get a little discouragement in the sense that we have to know how difficult what we are trying to attain actually is, because otherwise we won't be serious. I once read a self-help type of book where it described that there was one Olympic coach. He was coaching young girls in gymnastics. I think he was from Germany, actually, possibly from East Germany. And every one of his student girls who were just 14, 15 years old, after having every session from them, and these were extremely talented athletes, young ladies, they would be completely crying and crying and crying because he would say, you're doing this wrong and you're doing this wrong and you're doing this wrong and you're doing that wrong and you're doing this wrong. So this person who was writing self-help books, who, you know, you always have to encourage everyone and everything in a good self-help book. He went and talked to him. And he said, do you realize that you're completely discouraging all these talented students of yours by always and only, you're doing this wrong and you're doing this wrong and you're doing this wrong and you're doing this wrong? And the coach replied that I know that now they feel very unhappy and they're even angry at me. But you should understand that when it comes to the Olympics, when they're performing, if they make one mistake, they're going to lose. One mistake and they're going to lose. And I have seen it already. That if one of them wins, the first person they come to crying is me, thanking me, thanking me, thanking me for having trained them. This was Prabhupada's mood. When we think of Prabhupada, those who never met Prabhupada, you know, often have a very sugary sweet and ununderstanding of what Prabhupada was and who he did. He said, they give everything to me and I simply criticize them. And he pushed and pushed and pushed. Why? Because if we mistake falsity for truth, material for spiritual, if we make that mistake, we're not going to win. We're not going to gain the Olympic medal, the thing that we wish to attain, because it is that rarefied, it is that fine, it is that pure. So we shall hear some discouraging words now, but don't worry, there'll be some encouraging words by Srila Jiva Goswami quite soon. But we should really understand that this, what we're talking about, is not cheap. It is not cheap. The price is, we say, everyone knows what the price is, greed, lobh, tatra-lobhyam. But it's everything. It's complete. You have to want this, him, service to him. Service to those who are dear to him. And you can't want anything from this side. This is reality. So when we try to understand why we are not with Krishna, well, this is why, because I have my foot in this boat. I'm holding on completely tightly on this side and saying, why aren't it's Krishna's fault or something, that I'm holding on tightly. Why aren't I moving in that direction? Because I'm holding on tightly. So you have to... And anyway, we'll go on here. So, the point being, such an attainment as we're speaking of is so rare. Even the yogis who are so accomplished in their practices and who have been practicing for many, many, many lives, they cannot attain this. So should we become thinking it's so rare that why am I even bothering? You know, I don't have this kind of talent or anything like that. I can't do it. We will read something that Srila Rupa Goswami explains in Nectar Devotion, Bhakti Samatha Sindhu, when describing the third characteristic of bhakti, bhakti on the level of bhava, of the level of love, when one is established in love. Bhava bhakti, he says it is sudurlabha, which means it is rare. That means that one knows one's relationship with Krishna, not yet on the level of prema. On the level of prema, like these cowherd boys, they are Krishna kashini, it attracts Krishna, controls Krishna. But on this level of bhava, which is the level below, which is uttama bhakti, you're establishing your relationship with Krishna. So Rupa Goswami says, sadhana anugar, this is from Bhakti Samatha Sindhu, 1135, and we'll read 136 and hear the commentaries. Anasanga alabhya suchirarapi harina. Now note the word alabhya. What does alabhya mean? Unobtainable. Harina. Chasvara deity dvida sasyat sudolava. Bhakti is sudolava. It is very rarely attained. Bhakti on the level of bhava. Bhakti, this is the verse translation. Bhakti is difficult to attain for two reasons. If it is undertaken in great quantity, but without attachment to Krishna, bhakti cannot be attained even after a long time. First reason why it's so rare, you need attachment to Krishna. What is the Sanskrit word for attachment? Ashakti. And attachment to Krishna means no attachment for the material world, attachment only to Krishna's service. But not only that, because there's two reasons, dvida, why this platform of bhakti is so rare. Even if practiced with attachment, Krishna does not give bhakti to the practitioner immediately. Srila Jiva Goswami, I'll read part of his commentary here, very short. When the second line of the verse states that the Lord does not give bhakti quickly, it means that he does not give bhakti quickly, even if one practices with a shakti, attachment. Twofold rarity of bhakti, dvida sadolaba, means difficult to attain in two ways. Vishnath Chakravarti Thakur will read one sentence, or two sentences, or three. By doing all practices, all sadhana, through all stages from Shraddha, but without a Shakti or attachment, Bhava Bhakti cannot be obtained. It is not mechanical. This is because, Vishwanath continues, it is stated that Rati or Bhava appears only after a Shakti, Ados Shraddha. So Bhava appears after attachment. Then we have to attain a shakti, attachment to Krishna first. But he says, even with all sadhana and a shakti, the Lord does not quickly give bhava bhakti. He gives bhava, but after delay. Because the Lord is actually purchased by the... Bhava means emotion, love, love. It's premankur, it's the beginning of love, the seed of love. But it's love. He gives bhava, but after delay. In other words, he gives it. We don't get it. He gives it. There's nothing, nothing, nothing that we can do. In this way, bhava bhakti is difficult to attain in two ways. This was text 1135. Here's text, the next text by Srila Rupa Goswami and Bhakti Samita Sindhu. Tatra adya yata tantre jnanatas sulabha muktir buktir yagyari punyata sayam sadhana sahasra hari bhakti sudurlabha. Liberation is easily attained by jnana and material enjoyment. Is easily attained by material punya or piety, such as sacrifice after attaining dedication by thousands of attempts. So you can get these things, material things or liberation, by sacrifices and practices. You have to work, but you'll get them easily. The process is, in one sense, in your control. You do something and you get a result. But now he says, however, bhava bhakti to the Lord is very rarely attained by thousands of types of sadhanas, where a shakti is not present. Now, there's a Srila Jiva Goswami has a fairly long comment on the first part of the verse of how liberation and sense enjoyment is achieved, but we're just going to read his comment on the second part of the verse, what he means by it's so rarely attained. Even by sadhana, thousands of sadhanas. He says, this is just part of the commentary, but it's an important part for the purpose of our discussion. Although the verse, this is the commentary of Jiva Goswami on Rupa Goswami's Bhakti Samta Sindhu Nectar Devotion. Although the verse states that bhava, bhakti, cannot be attained after much practice, that it is rarely attained, sudurlabha, it is stated in many places that bhakti is easily attained. Srinvata svadaya nityam gunatascha svachetasa kalena niti dirgena bhagavan vishate riddhi. From Bhagavatam 284, persons who hear Srimad Bhagavatam regularly and are always taking the matter very seriously. What were the two qualifications in there? Did you hear that? Regularly and taking it seriously. That means this instruction is for me to apply, listening attentively. Sri Krishna will have such persons who have those two things will have the personality of Godhead Sri Krishna manifested in their hearts within a short time. And another one, he gives more references. This one's from 1526 of the Bhagavatam. O Vyasadeva, Narada Muni speaking, in that association, by the mercy of those great Vedantists, the Bhakti Vedantists, I could hear them describe the attractive activities of Lord Krishna. And thus, listening attentively, my taste for hearing of the personality of Godhead increased at every step. The word, and then he says, Nasadhyayate mam yogo, quoting another verse, Nasankyam dharma udhava, Nasvadhyayastapastyago yata bhaktir mamorjitaha. My dear Udhava, the unalloyed devotional service rendered to me by my devotees, this is Krishna speaking to Udhava, Udhava Gita, it brings me under their control. I cannot thus be controlled by those engaged in mystic yoga, Sankhya philosophy, pious work, Vedic study, austerity, or renunciation. Here comes the parts that I thought were very especially relevant here. The word sadhayati in the above verse thus does not mean bhakti, but various processes such as karma and the respective goals. Thus, by practicing various sadhanas other than bhakti, bhava bhakti is difficult to attain. So Jiva Goswami is saying, Bhava Bhakti, if you practice different kinds of sadhana other than bhakti, with attachment, then Bhava Bhakti is difficult to obtain and very rare to obtain. But listen carefully to this, please. The previous verse, 35, stated that Bhava Bhakti was hard to attain by countless sadhanas without attachment, without anasangai, or some love for Krishna, attachment to Krishna. It should be understood that bhava cannot be attained without attachment, but also without skillful execution. If one takes shelter of many processes, not just bhakti, or not bhakti alone, one cannot attain bhava. And thus, asanga should be understood to mean with attachment and only using the process of bhakti. If so performed, then bhava can be attained. Attachment cannot exist where there is no attraction. Oh, attachment cannot exist where there is attraction for swaga and skillfulness. Swaga means what? Heavenly enjoyment, meaning specifically here. Or the desire for liberation, which also comes in the form, and I have experience of this for myself, oh, why can't I get some peace? Liberated from all this, all that anxiety. It cannot exist when there is an attraction for attachment to Krishna, that a shakti, which when skillfully performed, bhakti will give you bhava bhakti. It cannot exist when there is attraction for swaga. And skillfulness cannot exist in that condition, since the person will also follow many types of sadhanas. Thus, practicing various sadhanas along with bhakti is not desirable. This is made clear in statements such as the follows, and then he quotes another Bhagavatam verse, because the pramana for Jiva Goswami and the Gaudiya Vaishnavas is the Bhagavatam. So he says a verse that's very famous. Tasmarakena manasa bhagavan satvatam pati shotavya kirtatavyascha deyas purusitas chanityada. Therefore, with one-pointed attention, ekena manasa, the mind focused one-pointedly, one should constantly hear about, glorify, remember, and worship the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is the protector of the devotees. So Jiva Goswami concludes his commentary here by saying, therefore, this bhakti should not even be mixed with other sadhanas. It has been correctly described by the words janma, kamad, anavrita. This is the price. Now, the conclusion, what is the conclusion of that? The bhava bhakti, which is the entrance, the preliminary entrance to that you need to develop prema bhakti, which is exalted bhakti, so exalted, it is uttama bhakti, it is on the spiritual platform. It can be attained through proper practices, one-pointed attached practices when one is actually attached to Krishna, but it has to be pure bhakti. So, I would like to, could you hand out those suits now? We need help, obviously, at least I need help. So, Prabhupada in this lecture is going to speak about some additional help for us. And when you don't have, keep your hand raised until you have the sheet. This was a lecture Prabhupada gave in quite early, maybe in 1967, in Chaitanya Charitamrita. This one's a 26 Second Avenue lecture. Because we shouldn't become hopeless. We shouldn't become overly exuberant. Yes, I'm gonna be a cow. I'm gonna be a gopi. I'm gonna be this. Yes, I'm gonna just walk right in. But we shouldn't become hopeless. There is a high price. The price is everything. Purity and expertise in bhajan, in sadhana. But there is extra help coming our way too. Everyone have the right sheet? Prabhupada's Akit Eka Gatim Natva. Yes, that's at the beginning of the sheet. Does anyone need one? We're about to... Short, 4 minutes. Please listen carefully.
Avatika Gatim Natva. The author of this Chaitanya Chaitanya is offering his respectful obeisances unto Lord Chaitanya. So, he says, Agatika Gatinatva. Agati, persons who have fallen, who have no hope for reaching the supreme destination.
Those who have fallen and who have no hope in reaching the supreme destination.
For them, Lord Chaitanya is the only hope. This age, it is stated in authoritative scriptures, in this age the people are unfortunate. Of course, they are very much proud of advancing. From spiritual point of view, the people of this age, Kali Yuga, they are unfortunate. Their description is given in the Srimad Bhagavatam, second chapter, first canto. That the people are short-lived. Their duration of life is very short. And they are very slow in the matter of spiritual realization. The human form of life is specially meant for spiritual realization, but they have forgotten that aim of life. They are very much serious about maintaining, about the necessities of this body, which is not. And if somebody is interested to have some test of spiritual realization, they are misdirected. Prayena alpayayusha kalau asmin jige jana manda sumandamatayu sumandamatayu manda bhagya, and they are unfortunate. Upadrita, and all is disturbed by so many things. So this is the position of the present day population. And the author of Chaitanya Charitamrita, he says that Lord Chaitanya is the only hope for these people. Why? Because spiritual realization is not an ordinary subject matter. But he has given us this shortcut. He's so kind to the people of the world, that simply he has introduced this Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare, by simple chanting of this transcendental vibration, the people of this age will make exact progress in the matter of spiritual realization. Therefore, this reference is here, agati ekagati. Those who are hopeless about their spiritual realization, Lord Chaitanya is the only one hope. So, hinata vikashatakam si chaitanya likhama. So, I am just offering my respects to Lord Sri Chaitanya. I am trying to describe about his transcendental activities and instructions and love. So.
Okay. So Prabhupada has given us, introduced us to the mercy of Sri Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Huh? We'll need it again. Okay. One more time for a short one. So we shouldn't be hopeless, but we should know that we need help. Because Mahaprabhu is very, very kind and merciful. So how can we proceed in becoming absorbed in Krishna consciousness, the kind of absorption that we were talking about, dying our consciousness and becoming focused in the way that we're talking about, and getting the kind of taste that practically speaking is required to be able to not become entangled in material consciousness. Yes? Okay. So we have another verse from Prahlad Maharaj with a commentary by Jiva Goswami, part of a commentary by Jiva Goswami. So how to practice this kind of bhakti? So the verse is very, very famous. Prahlad Uvacha, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu Smaranam Padasevanam Archanam Vandanam Dasyam Sakya Atmanavedam. This is the best thing that Prahlad had learned in school, he told his father, the best of the asuras, Hiranyakashipu. Itipam sarpita Vishnu bhaktis chain navalakshana kriyate bhagavatya da tanmanye aditam uttamam. Here is the translation. Prahlad Maharaj said, hearing and chanting about the transcendental holy name, form, qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu, remembering them, hearing and chanting, Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu, Smaranam, remembering them. Remembering what? The holy name, the forms, the qualities, paraphernalia, and pastimes of Lord Vishnu. Remembering them. Remembering what? The holy names, form, qualities, paraphernalia, pastimes of Lord Vishnu. Offering the Lord respectful worship with 16 types of paraphernalia, serving the lotus feet of the Lord, offering prayers to the Lord, becoming his servant, considering the Lord one's best friend, and surrendering everything to him. In other words, serving him with body, mind, and words, these 9 processes are accepted as pure devotional service. They're Surup Siddhi Bhakti. They have the potency of Krishna. They are Krishna. One who has dedicated his life to the service of Krishna through these 9 methods should be understood to be the most learned person, for he has acquired complete knowledge. Now here is Jiva Goswami's comment on this. We're just going to read a small section of it, and it's not long, but listen, because he's going to give some important instruction on how to proceed based on the instructions of Prahlad Maharaj. So he says, 2 verses beginning with Shravanam go together. There, it is to be understood that Shravanam, what does Shravanam mean? Hearing. Shravanam occurs, he defines Shravanam, what hearing about means. It means when the Lord's name or words relating to his form, qualities, and associates and pastimes, when his name or words relating to Krishna, his name, form, qualities, and pastimes, touch the hearing. And the same progression pertains also to Kirtanam and Smaranam. When the Lord's name or words relating to his form, qualities, association touch the tongue, it's Kirtanam, and touch the mind, it's Smaranam. Then he says, here, something special is written. So, if any of you like special things, here, Jiva Goswami is saying something special is written. And he's referring to the verse Shravanam Kirtanam Vishnu. Namely, the progression of the limbs of bhakti. He's going to tell how we should perform our bhakti, beginning with hearing the holy name. In this regard, it should be considered that although perfection can be achieved by practicing any limb whatsoever in any order, In other words, you can practice any of these limbs of bhakti, and they can award everything. Hearing, chanting, remembering, each one of them is Krishna. Each one of them is independently powerful and can award full Krishna consciousness. Regardless of the order, still the special thing he's referring to is that Prahlad Maharaj is giving an order. Still, first, one should hear the holy name in order to purify one's consciousness, one's mind, citta, consciousness, mind, heart. When the consciousness is purified, he continues, by hearing, now because the question is asked, sometimes devotees wonder, well, how am I going to actually come to that position that we were talking about? Hearing about the coward boys, you know, lamenting this and that, I don't have this, I don't have that. What is the process? How am I going to become a truly exalted devotee? So he's going to give the exact process of doing that here. When the consciousness is purified by hearing about the Lord's appearance, his form, one becomes qualified for that form to become revealed. So you hear about the name of Krishna, you hear the name of Krishna, and the name reveals himself in the heart. And you hear about the form of Krishna, and the form of Krishna, Krishna's actual Swayam Rupam, Krishna, reveals himself. Yad yad diyatar udagayava bhavayanti tam tam pranayeshe saranugrahaya. Through the channel way of the hearing, the ear, Krishna manifests in the heart, in the exact form. This is from the third canto of the Bhagavatam, Brahma's prayers, that particular verse. Krishna will manifest in the exact form that you desire according to what you hear. So, I'll read this again. When the consciousness is purified by hearing about the Lord's appearance, form, one becomes qualified for the form to become revealed. And when the Lord's form has become completely revealed to the devotee, the Lord's qualities manifest themselves to the devotee. And when the qualities have become revealed, then the special characteristics of the Lord's associates become revealed. And when his name, Krishna's name, or their names, the associates, forms, qualities, and associates, become completely revealed, then the Lord's pastimes become completely revealed. In this sequence, Srila Jiva Goswami says, the progression of sadhana is delineated by Prahlad Maharaj. We'll ask the translator. I think it's a quotation from the, not from the Sandarbha itself. I think it was taken out from Jiva Goswami's commentary on this verse, I think. The same is to be understood about chanting and remembering. So there is a process for doing this. There's much we can say about this, but we want to move forward a little bit right now. That this is the process to hear about Krishna's name, to hear about Krishna's form, to hear about Krishna's qualities, his associates, and his pastimes. Hear about them. The hearing should have a quality. The first quality is offenselessness. Especially when we chant Krishna's names, to avoid the 10 offenses. But I don't want to speak about that right now. But just there is a process that Jiva Goswami is giving here for everything to be revealed. And we'll be speaking about this a lot more. The problem is, especially where you're sitting, there's nothing facing you. None of the amplifiers are facing you. But yes, I'll do that. Does that help? Okay. I shall try. Now, the last thing that Jiva Goswami says here is very interesting. He says, hearing glorification of the Lord from the mouths of great devotees is the source of great happiness for those who have developed a taste. And, he says, the supermost hearing is Srimad Bhagavatam, because it consists only of words that are imbued with power. They are filled with power, spiritual potency. And because it is filled with supreme rasa, the Bhagavatam, the supreme taste of the dealings, ultimately, of Vrindavan. Now listen now to the very end. Turn back to the page of Prabhupada's lecture. And listen. We'll listen to the last minute and 48 seconds of the lecture. Prabhupada, in that lecture in 26th Second Avenue, after he discussed the mercy of Mahaprabhu, he discussed the unlimited potency of Krishna. And now, he is going to conclude something else.
How we are acting within this free world, and how you are utilizing your internal potency, yoga maya, extending yourself in so many expansions, plenary expansions, who can understand? Nobody can understand.
So Krishna is unlimited. How could we limited persons with limited intelligence and mind understand Krishna? Prabhupada continues.
You may say, if nobody can understand, what is the use of discussing such things? That is the qualification of the devotee. In spite of their inability to understand the sutramesi, the expansion of the Supreme Lord, still, by discussing about the Supreme Lord, hearing and chanting, they take transcendental pleasure. It is not that anybody can understand Krishna, but still, it is a transcendental pleasure to try to understand. Not that we shall be able to understand Krishna fully. It is not in our power. But still, bodhantam parasparam tushanti ca ramanti ca. Mahatma, those are great souls in their society, in their spiritual society of Krishna consciousness. By discussing about Krishna as in terms of the Vedic literature and authority literature,
and then it ends with Prabhupada's words there. Still, by discussing about Krishna in terms of the Vedic literature and authoritative literatures, they enjoy transcendentally. This is transcendental pleasure. And this we need to do to come to the platform of dying our consciousness. We must hear about Krishna and discuss Krishna. Our consciousness must become filled with thoughts about Krishna, Krishna's service, Krishna's pastimes, Krishna's activities, questions, answering. If we don't do this, if we're not inquisitive to understand about Krishna, we can't help but be caught by the illusory energy. The consciousness needs to grasp something. So we want to grasp this greatest of all thing, how to advance in Krishna consciousness, how to become transformed in that way, how to engage in the spiritual quest, taking help from Srila Prabhupada, taking help from Giriraj Govardhan, taking help from the Vaishnavas, taking help from Mahaprabhu, and praying very sincerely. This must burn in our heart. Otherwise, material desires will burn in our heart, and we will die in every way. Both meanings. So, what I would like to do in continuing my presentation, following what Deva Goswami said, we will talk about and make some presentations about the name and form and qualities and pastimes of Krishna. Here are some four very short but interesting quotations from Srila Prabhupada on discussing the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna. When I did my research for this, I saw Prabhupada's words and his methodology so closely followed Sri Jiva Goswami's methodology, how the name of Krishna will reveal everything, basically. And then the hearing, the Bhagavatam, we're hearing about Krishna and his form and his activities and pastimes will reveal everything. But here are four very short quotations from Prabhupada about the importance of hearing and chanting about the name, fame, form, and pastimes of Krishna. This is from Bhagavatam 6.2.46. One who desires freedom from material bondage, from Prabhupada's purport, should adopt... What is material bondage? It means suffering. No one likes suffering. But one who desires freedom from material bondage should adopt the process of chanting and glorifying the name, fame, form, and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, at whose feet all the holy places stand. This practice of talking about Krishna, hearing about Krishna, glorifying Krishna, is the business of the tongue and the ear. Second quotation. This one's from Prabhupada's purport to Bhagavatam 7.1.28, very important chapter, first chapter of the seventh canto. To think of Krishna in any way, in terms of his name, form, qualities, and paraphernalia, or anything pertaining to Krishna, is beneficial for everyone. Srinvatam Svakata Krishna Punya Shravana Kirtanam. Thinking of Krishna, hearing the holy name of Krishna, or hearing the pastimes of Krishna, will make one pure, and then he will become a devotee. Not only will reveal Krishna, and it's not only for those who are already pure, it will make one pure. Coming in contact with the sun purifies even the most filthy objects. The sun doesn't become contaminated. So similarly, when we come in contact with Krishna's name, form, qualities, and pastimes, the heart becomes purified, and as the heart becomes purified, Krishna reveals the entirety of his form, his name, his qualities, and his pastimes. In the second canto of the Bhagavatam, it's written somewhere where for a pure devotee on that level, he's watching Krishna, the pastimes of Krishna in the heart, just as one might watch television. It is that clear. It is not imaginary. It is not abstract. It is real. Another short quotation. In Srimad Bhagavatam, this is from 7.5, 7th canto, 5th chapter, 23rd to 25th verse, Prabhupada's purport, a small part of it. In Srimad Bhagavatam, great devotees like Sukadev Goswami have specifically described Lord Krishna's holy name, form, and qualities. Unless one hears about the holy name, form, and qualities of the Lord, one cannot clearly understand the other processes of devotional service. One, if you cannot properly understand, means you will misunderstand. Hearing, Ihan Mali Sechi Nitya Shravanari Jal. This is the process of making the devotional creeper grow. If we give up the process of hearing and chanting, thinking that we're doing other services, our creeper will D-I-E. It will dry up and die. And Prabhupada told me, and he told everyone in Chaitanya Charitamrita, but he was speaking very much to me, that if you give up the process of hearing and chanting, it is due to offenses. You may think you're giving it up to do something else, but you're being forced to give it up due to offenses. And the final quotation from Prabhupada, from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi 3.1.11, about the importance of hearing about the name, form, qualities, and pastimes of Krishna. If by studying the form, name, qualities, and pastimes, and paraphernalia of the Supreme Godhead, one is attracted to the Lord, he can execute devotional service. And the form of the Lord will be impressed in his heart. and remain, will remain transcendentally situated there. All the material desires, they sit in the heart. They are impressions. What's the Sanskrit word for impressions? Sanskaras. We carry all our karma, practically speaking, in our hearts in the form of desires, material desires. And they force us to make the attempt to fulfill those desires. They're impressed there. But if we hear about the form, name, qualities, pastimes, and paraphernalia of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, of Krishna, one will become attracted to the Lord. Those impressions will come. And then he can execute devotional service. Because as Srila Jiva Goswami commenting said, that without being attracted to Krishna, and attached to Krishna, without a shakti, we cannot achieve the higher platforms that we desire. And therefore devotional service becomes frustrating and material life becomes more and more attractive to us. There is no neutral position. The attraction for matter, if it increases, spiritual attraction will go down, and vice versa. If, like those, like the old-fashioned weighing scales, it is our duty to increase our attraction to Krishna. We may have service to do, but we cannot separate this from our service. This is our service. And not only will the form of the Lord will be impressed in the heart and remain transcendentally situated there, unless a devotee actually develops transcendental love for the Lord, it is not possible for him to think always of the Lord within his heart. This is required. Okay. So in the succeeding days, honoring, respecting Srila Prabhupada's words and the words of Srila Jiva Goswami, we'll continue this presentation tomorrow. We'll start with speaking about the names of Krishna, the holy names of Krishna, and then the incredibly striking form of Krishna, and then the wonderful pastimes, qualities of Krishna, and then more on the pastimes of Krishna. Any questions? Because there's 9 more minutes. Oh, meaning materialistic ones, karma kanda ones, because sadhana means practices, and sometimes yes, anything that's karma and jnana have to become, depending on Krishna's mercy, how can we translate the concept of being one pointed in our focus on bhakti, because we don't do Vedic yajnas and things like that to go to the heavenly planets, etc. So, very interesting question. I would like to hear some of the thoughts of the devotees on this. Yes? Louder, please. Yes, so we should do lots of kirtan, lots of hearing and chanting. And we should know the difference between what is bhakti and what is not bhakti. Thank you. Any other comments? Okay, Samakrishna Prabhu's point was that it prepares the groundwork. Sometimes the Vedic processes prepare the groundwork for bhakti to sprout. Yes, and without the groundwork being prepared, then bhakti won't sprout. Any would like to comment on that, or yes, so. Engage in devotional service directly and not wait for those. But yet, we see in the society of devotees, sometimes devotees have obstacles in their following the process, and I think Srila Prabhu's point is if one has this culture, then one does that. So how does that fit with the point that Srila Jiva Goswami makes on Bhava Bhakti? One that adds an element that ensures a proper balance, because whatever helps one one becomes attached to also. And therefore, that which helps one that's not bhakti can be a hindrance at a different time also. So therefore, one shouldn't prescribe for oneself. One has to have trusted bhaktis who are more advanced to tell us, to instruct us how to, whether we're supposed to do things on a more varnashrama level or on a more bhakti level. And we should have enough transcendental knowledge also ourselves to know the difference between what is what. And regardless if we're acting on a varnashrama level, things that really do help, because we're victims of Kali Yuga. And Kali Yuga victims are lame, misguided, unfortunate, and upadrutaha, always disturbed in mind. So we need to have a lot of hearing and chanting. Otherwise we will go in the wrong direction and we will remain forever dissatisfied in heart. So I thought that was a point.
Jiva Goswami, he comments on this verse, Sanyadi Lasita Sunyam, Jnana Karmadi Anavritam. And he raises an interesting point which answers all these things. He says, why doesn't it say Jnana Karmadi Sunyatam? There's two, Anyabilas is sunyata. There should be no Anyabilas. But Jnana Karma Anavritam. It should be uncovered by Jnana Karma. He says that for Anyabilas, this thing is very bad for bhakti. But jnana and karma...
Anyabilas means?
Unwanted material desires, unwanted things. But jnana and karma in some cases can be useful. He says there's three types of jnana, tatpadartha jnana, twampadartha jnana, and brahma aikya jnana, that knowledge of yourself, the spirit soul, knowledge of the Supreme Lord, the knowledge of the oneness of the jiva and the Lord. And he says, alas, is detrimental to bhakti. But the first two can be beneficial. So while in our line, we see sometimes Vaishnavas, they want to follow astrology or different things which are Vedic. And that's not part of our sadhana. And it may be an impediment in some sense. And in other sense, if it's not covering bhakti, it may be actually helpful, just like these other types of jnana.
I know of one very, very, very famous yoga teacher, Yogacharya, who is the guru of the very, very famous Iyengar, Mr. Iyengar, as they call him. This Krishnamacharya, who was a Ramanuja Vaishnava. So he practiced yoga. He knew so many. He was very much an old-fashioned South Indian Brahmin Acharya type. But at the end of his life, in the final years of his life, what he did was chant Krishna's holy names in japa. So everything can be helpful, but ultimately, Mahaprabhu says, nasteva, kalo nasteva, 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 gatyaniyata. Any other interesting discussion? Any other comments and points? In Bhajan Rahasya, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that there are four kinds of anarthas that make one their daivam or unfortunate. Nam namakari, commenting on nam namakari bahuda nivasava shaktis, tatapita niyamitas, smaranena kala, itadrasi tava kripa bhagavam mamapi, durdaivam idrisam mihana anujana raga. That make one unfortunate, not have a taste for the holy names. So if your question is, make one lose one's taste for that, for Krishna, for hearing and chanting about Krishna, and only want to work for Krishna, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says there are four types of anarthas that cause this. One is lack of knowledge, tattva vibhrama. Another is asat trishna, which means the thirst for the temporary. Hridaya dolavam, weakness of heart. And the fourth one is aparad, or offenses. And he describes that there are four types or categories of offenses. The first is seva aparat, when worshipping the deity. Offenses while worshipping the deity. Another one is Vaishnava aparad, or nam aparad, I think he says. Offenses against the holy name. And third one, I can't remember the third type. That was the fourth one I was going to remember to say. But the fourth one, so it's seva aparat, Vaishnava, he puts Vaishnava aparat in a separate category from nama aparat, offenses against the holy name, because he wants to give such prominence to offending Vaishnavas and how bad that is and how it really should be avoided. And that's the one drawback, in one sense, of living in the association of devotees very closely, is that there's a tendency to take everyone so cheaply and start seeing just the faults of the person and magnifying that in one's mind, and then being critical offhandedly and being ninda, aparad. And the fourth one is the jiva aparad, or jana aparad, offenses to ordinary people. Ordinary people, just people, everyone, anyone, to be offensive and nasty and inconsiderate. And Kapila Muni speaks about this in his teachings very strongly, and that identifies one as the Kanista Adhikari, one who will worship the deity, but is not seeing that Krishna is in everyone's heart. So there are many, many ways. But the hearing process is the process for hearing and chanting. It's very much the process for clearing the heart. Weren't you ever a boy? Huh? You didn't like to be on the other side. But yet it always happens, yes? So Krishna, what happened to, when your friends were teasing you and you were really feeling really bad and started crying? How did your friends feel? They were very happy, right? Because that's the way boys are. So why did Krishna cry and think, "Oh, I'm going to tell my mother you're so hard on you"? Because he wanted to make his friends happy. And that makes Krishna so happy. This is the natural exchange that goes on. But it was all done with so much affection and no malice. No malice. One day, as we know, the boys had complained to Mother Yasoda and said Krishna had eaten dirt. And even Balaram joined that side. And Krishna said, he defended. And he said, "No, I wouldn't eat dirt." But Balaram said, I had an argument with him this morning. God and his first primary expansion have an argument this morning. How can those who aren't devotees enter into this? And therefore he's taken the side of the other boys to complain against me, so I'll get into trouble. Krishna is very expert at pulling at Mother Yasoda's heart. Expert talker, pleasing talker. These are some of the qualities of Krishna. And Mother Yasoda didn't know what to do. Who should she believe? How could she? Krishna was completely sincere. "I never ate dirt. And if you want to see, whether I just, I'll open my mouth." And Krishna opened his mouth. And what did Mother Yasoda see within his mouth? Huh? Oh, the whole universe. And she even saw herself within Krishna's mouth, holding Krishna. And she was astounded. "How is this vision coming to me? Is this the influence of some demigods? No, I don't worship the demigods. It couldn't be that. Is it some type of insanity?" She looked around. "No, everything seems to be stable. Nothing is moving this way and that. How is this coming to me?" And she became completely astounded, looking in Krishna's mouth and seeing all this. And she just ended up saying, "Okay, Krishna, the overpoweringness of seeing a glimpse of Krishna's Aishwarya, of his incredible unlimited potency and power, could not make her think, oh, my son must be God, the Supreme Personality of Godhead. The sweetness of her relationship overpowered that. And she just said, oh, something. Close your mouth, Krishna. Don't eat dirt again. So, the question is, did Krishna really eat dirt or not? All those who think he did, raise your hand. I'm also on that side. All those who think Krishna didn't eat dirt, and the boys had, poor innocent Krishna had not eat, why would he eat? You, all those who think Krishna didn't eat dirt, going to take Krishna's side. Okay. Okay. And all those who had not yet decided, raise your hand. Anyway, you can ask Giriraj Govardhan. But we have to stop now. For say mantra if you haven't said mantra and prasadam. Bala Giriraj Maharaj ki, Bala Giriraj Maharaj ki, Bala Giriraj Maharaj ki, Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe, Jai Jai Shri Radhe. Shila Prabhupada ki. Yeah.